Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Live from 50th and Capitol Avenue in the Big O, this is Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone, 1620thezone.com, and 1620 The Zone TV. Now here's Gary, Nick, and Jimmy.
You're cooking with gas.
Hey, just like the spring game tomorrow, this is a social event on a feel-good Friday. Welcome in. Lots of football. Gosh, last night, didn't it get you juiced that, man, we're going through the NFL draft, we got a spring game, and we got to wait about 4 months before real football. But good morning, boys, on a feel-good Friday where I think at least I can speak for two of us. We feel pretty good about what happened last night.
Now, I got to give Sean credit right out of the gate because he said, our good old friend, former KMTV Sean.
Oh, that's what Sean Kemp.
What did he say?
Sean had a great tweet last night that I kind of stole for a headline today. And that is, he said, Rome wasn't built in a day, but it might have been in Chicago after Rome Adunze. Yeah.
Just furthers my love of the Packers to win the NFC North.
You know what? I think the reality of it is, I think the Packers, Bears, and Vikings might be chasing the Lions for a little bit, too.
That's the NFC North is cooking. It definitely had a good day yesterday. Yeah. So I don't want to speak for you, Jimmy, but
happy with the lineman
offensive tackle.
Yeah, happy with the lineman. Pissed off that they had to trade back six because I said,
"Gosh, I soon knew as that they, was coming."
As soon as they make, we even said last night, just trying to hold
look
off.
Look what you did! Look
just,
what you did!
Just trying to hold off till they make the pick. As soon as they make the pick, we'll go get settled. Then they traded. We had expletives, and I was like, "Whatever, let's go see what LeBron's doing." And then once they made their pick, my words were "F you, I'm going to bed."
Would LeBron?
I like.
Would
the
LeBron for the Cowboys been a better pick than Guyton? Talk amongst yourselves in the Cowboy chat room.
Guyton did look pretty nasty on film. Hey, so
I liked him. I think you know the draft is a television show. It's not a news event, and it looked great in Detroit last night. Even though I don't know what that experience would be like with 250,000 people, especially if you got to go to the bathroom. Mm. But the thing about the draft, and I don't know, everybody's waking up this morning that had a first-round draft pick.
You guys had awesome nights, by the way.
Yes.
Worthy, perfect for the Chiefs. Nick, Super Bowl champions here for like 5 or 6 years.
Quarterback and wide receiver add in a tandem. You guys get speed that we know works very, very well in that Kansas City offense.
And at least I have college football.
So I don't think there was any drama. There wasn't any drama until the Penix pick.
Yeah.
Like, it was just running smoothly, and it seems like with the NFL draft, which didn't get over, I mean, I got home 11:15 last night. The first part of the draft flies, and then you hit like that 14-15 pick, and it starts to lag a little bit. I thought there was good pace last night, but there really wasn't a ton of drama. The Penix thing, like, and if you're waking up this morning, you're like, hey, I feel pretty good about my draft. If you had a first-round draft pick, maybe the Falcons and the salary cap strap Bills would be the only two franchises where you went, what are we doing?
Yeah. Well, and what the Bills ended up giving you guys and the Kansas City Chiefs.
They're trading with their rival.
Chiefs end up getting, too. Yeah. I mean, you're telling me the Bills couldn't use, after losing Stephon Diggs, you couldn't use a guy like Xavier Worthy?
So I'm glad that the Bills pick up the phone when Veach calls. But I get it. They are, if you just look at their moves they've had in the offseason, they got some salary cap woes.
Yep.
And so they're going to draft first overall today. But again, they trade with Kansas City, and Kansas City is able to get a guy kind of like your team. I think this is the thing about the draft. And again, there's a lot of manufactured drama, and it's a TV show. It's not really a news event anymore, but gosh dang, does it matter at the end of the day? Is you always wish what could happen. Yeah. I mean, you knew you were going to get Caleb Williams.
Yes.
But you were like, man, if we could get Odunze,
yep.
Woo! And then when that happens, and as we were talking yesterday, and you guys said, well, what do you want? I said, well, I think at 32, if they stay at 32, if there's a wide receiver there, like the other Texas wide receiver, Mitchell, I like that pick because I didn't think Worthy would be around. Mm-hmm. Or we would go tackle. When something that you want to happen in the draft with your team actually happens, you're like, wow, there we go. We're cooking with peanut oil. And, I mean, you are over the top because, really, the Bears had an unbelievable night. Now yeah. it's what
and a lot
what,
of things worked out, too.
What you do with it. But you got the two guys that you wanted. Yep. So I think that just adds to the, all right, yeah. my opinion on the Bears has changed. Bear down. Love you, Devin Hester. Get that gold jacket. But, man, my quarterback, wide receiver,
yep.
running back, they're all going to get a gold jacket as well.
Yeah, and that's the part about the draft that so many times, especially, you know, the first couple of picks are usually predictable in any draft, most times. And so it's once you get to 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, depending on where you are. Now, again, for Chicago, they had two picks in the top 10. But if you're, say, someone who's choosing an 11 or 12, a lot of things in front of you have to happen for you to get that, what you're talking about, that ideal person, that perfect fit, the one that has been mocked consistently towards your team. So when the Titans got Latham, and then curious what the Falcons were going to do, and I think my initial reaction, and I wasn't necessarily expecting them to get Rome Odunze, but when the Falcons made it official that Odunze was going to be available, it for a moment made me overlook the fact that, wait a minute, they've got Kirk Cousins. What did they just do? But hey, Chicago it now has Rome Odunze. But this is where you also go back on, especially for, I know Chicago Bears fans know what I'm talking about, but I think a lot of franchise that have given you moments to scratch your head in the draft, I'm thinking, okay, Rome Odunze is available. That makes a lot of sense. But then you think of other needs that your team could have that you're prepared to maybe sell yourself on. If you don't hear the name you want to hear, I got to sell myself on why I think the other person who they selected is a good pick. Last night, I didn't have to do that. I was very excited. Like when the Bears traded up 3 years ago, you thought, okay, they're getting a quarterback. But then there's part of you saying, okay, are they going to go after Mac or is it going to be Justin Fields? I wanted Justin Fields. And so when that happened, I was, oh my God, they actually did it. This one, though, based on where the offense is for Chicago, this made sense. And I think sometimes it's easy for even the smartest people in that room to overthink it when you can look at your team best guy available. Let's just go get that guy and let's roll from there.
I'm sure there's people with the Bears that are like, well, we got to get somebody to protect Caleb Williams, but your offense is good. I also like the fact that the Bears are in line to be the Hard Knocks team. Yep. How great is that? Mm-hmm. Caleb Williams, rookie season, all the quirkiness of Caleb Williams, rookie quarterback, all the other storylines around the Bears. I think they're the pick for Hard Knocks.
Surprise, yeah. Nick, you're not all Bearsed out today because of that.
I did that yesterday. Yesterday was the I tried to speak in existence. Now we only have two picks left in the entire draft. That's so you got to maximize what you're doing. But
now I waited 8 minutes here. The other team that I think probably is waking up this morning going WTF is the Broncos.
Yeah.
On what they were doing with Bo Nix. Now they needed a quarterback, but they moved up to get Bo Nix. But it was a run on quarterbacks. If you ever, let me just tell you something here. I'm gonna talk a little bit of stuff I learned from Vince Lombardi as an old, this is an offensive league, and you need to get your quarterback, you need to get your pass catcher, you need to protect your quarterback. If you didn't know that this was a fully offensive league, then let me introduce you to the 2024 NFL draft. So we had the run on offensive players, and
first
then
14
the
picks.
First 20, which, by the way, a lot of Pac-12 representation. Mm-hmm. Hey, going out with a bang.
Yeah.
It's too bad that the conference went boom.
Right.
But five of the first 12 were out of the Pac-12.
Yep.
First 20 picks, 9 were either offensive tackles or wide receivers. And a majority of those guys were offensive players. So it is such an offensive league. But I'm fascinated by like how people that are in Kansas City's division, who they draft, because they're chasing Kansas City.
Yeah.
You can say, hey, we just want to get into the tournament. But you're ultimately chasing Kansas City. But it also shows last night, when you have a really good GM that is aligned with his coach and has a plan, man, you can do some damage. And there might be some picks that you go, I never even heard of that guy. I don't know. And they're like, oh, that guy. Like Pittsburgh. New Orleans got a perfect fit on the offensive line. Mm-hmm. I mean, the draft last night, I think there were very few teams that were waking up this morning or their fan bases are going, Well, we screwed that one up. Let's see if we'll be in line to get Shadur as the number one overall pick next year.
The interesting part, I say this every year when it comes to the draft, is the draft grades. And I think...
Oh, consume them. Just...
Oh, I think it's just so funny, though.
Lean into them, love them.
When you give... I understand...
Love you long time, A-plus Xavier Worthy.
And he would be, absolutely. I think the first night, if you're doing draft grades, the winners and losers, that's also another thing that I'm not comfortable with, because we can start with Michael Penix. If you figure out quarterback, then you can look back and say, remember, everybody was just looking at that pick and thinking, what the hell were we doing? Clearly, mm-hmm. we knew what we were doing. Now, obviously, that's a big if. Is Kirk Cousins your starter in 2026? That's probably not a high probability right now. But the fact that Atlanta addressed quarterback isn't something that's completely, I think, asinine. The fact that they did it so early with a guy that was projected up until yesterday, I think the over-under for FanDuel was 32.5 as far as what round he would go.
And oh, you mean Penix?
Yeah, Penix, yeah. Until yesterday morning, then it went up to, I think, 21.5. But if you are, let's say in 3 years, Penix is your starter and he is an absolute stud, you completely dismiss that. Kirk Cousins is coming off of a ruptured Achilles. So there is that part of it. But you can label it as confusing. You can label it as not sure why they wanted to go about it as far as a timing standpoint. But the pick itself, we do this a lot of, well, what were they thinking on this guy or reaching on this guy, when you don't know how that's going to translate into the NFL. The only thing I think it's always fair to do, if you're looking at how a team drafted in a particular year, is how did you address major needs?
Well, Atlanta needs an edge rusher, and they allowed Minnesota to get a steal in
yep.
Turner. An absolute steal, because Atlanta went with a quarterback. And maybe Atlanta pulled a Green Bay. You know, they always say the best time to draft a quarterback is when you don't need one.
Mm-hmm.
That holds true if you think about teams that aren't at the front of the draft, that's why they're at the front of the draft. When you don't need a quarterback, the best time to draft one is when you don't need one. I know that was long-winded. But I wonder if they pulled a Green Bay. And then I think, no, I'm watching that interaction between the owner and the GM, and that looked very uncomfortable. But there's also the question about that pick. And I agree with you about, you have Cousins who's 35, maybe only has 2 years left. Yeah. He's coming back from the Achilles. The confusion, they have been promoting him. If you've been in Atlanta recently, there are billboards everywhere. He threw out the first pitch of the Braves game the other night and then was on the broadcast, and they're like really promoting yeah. him. We don't know what his health is, but when did they fall in love with Penix? Because they gave a lot of money to one guy.
Yeah.
When did they fall in love with Penix that they would make that pick? Was it just recently? Was it before they acquired Cousins? What was the line of thinking in Atlanta is my question.
Yeah, and it seemed like, and I was watching more of the NFL Network's coverage last night because...
it's better.
Well, once they decided to put...
Except for two guys.
They decided to put Desmond on the table too, and I was like, I'm not sure about that for ESPN. So
I forgot all
I know Tom Pelissero was talking about, as he was trying to track that, and throughout the draft, I mean, they would go to one pick, and then he would get an update on Cousins in Atlanta in that relationship. Then there'd be two other picks that would come by, and then there would be another update on Cousins in Atlanta. It was, based on what he was hearing, and it sounded like it was about 6 weeks, that they had been all in on Michael Penix.
They pulled a Green Bay.
Yeah.
They pulled a Green Bay in Atlanta.
And the other part about it is, and I know this was the frustration with Aaron Rodgers, because he had no indication whatsoever that they were going to go with Jordan Love. It's basically the same thing when you're on the clock and all of a sudden you're Kirk Cousins. You're like, hey, I'm curious what my team's going to do. Are they going to help me out? Or what are they going to do? Then your phone rings. Okay, well, they're going to let me in on what they're going to do. Oh, it's a quarterback, and they're about to announce him in 1 minute.
But is Kirk Cousins good enough that he has that power? What has Kirk Cousins done in the NFL?
He's not the Aaron Rodgers.
The guy in Kansas City, yes.
Right.
Is Kirk Cousins have that much power? Kirk Cousins needs to understand that it's a business. I mean, he's made a lot of money off this being a business in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
He has to understand that. But they also have to explain to him what their thought process was.
Yeah.
And if it comes out that they're not getting good medicals, okay, this kind of makes sense.
It sounded like...
That's $100 million they gave to Cousins to draft a guy who is his replacement, heir apparent, whatever you want to call it, at number 8.
And it sounded like, again, based on the shock value of that and the very little information that the Cousins camp got on that, is you're essentially, in my opinion, I'm not even hearing this last night. In my opinion, you're evaluating a guy that you know is available. Okay, clearly they weren't in love with Bo Nix, or they go with Bo Nix too, or J.J. McCarthy. They saw something in a guy that essentially when he starts, the likelihood when he starts, he'll be probably 28. And, you know, talk about Kirk Cousins' injury history. Michael Penix also has injury history too. But they clearly saw something in him that they felt was going to be a franchise builder, that they could clearly take a major step forward with him in the building, and then also setting him up in a situation where he can learn under Kirk Cousins. And Michael Penix said all the right things too, understanding that Kirk Cousins is the guy, and that's the guy he's excited to learn from. And as long as Kirk Cousins is on board with that as well, you'll be fine. I just think that, and this, I think today when Atlanta explains a little bit more about this whole process and kind of the question you asked of at what point did this start, I think it's going to come down to there was just something about this guy, regardless of whether they had to wait to the second round and gamble or try to trade back into the first round later on, that he was too good for the future of their franchise and their evaluations, that they had to go ahead and roll the dice on that one, and hopefully that they just made a very wise future investment. That's how they're looking at it.
So, like you were mentioning, Jimmy, I watched the NFL Network as well. I was at Richie's draft party.
Yeah, boy, talk about that.
He was chill, man. Once, because I was trying to just turn the screws. I was like, JJ, you've got DJ, but you could have JJ as your quarterback.
He didn't take the bait?
No, and once they, because I got a dude in Malik Nabers. I mean, I think the three best wide receivers that have come out of, and I'm just three. I could go on and on. The three that have come out of LSU, Chase, Beckham, and Malik Nabers. Mm. I wonder who, you know, you got to wonder about who's throwing them football, because Jones won't begin the season because he's injured. They'll have Drew Locke. But I like their pick there. But once they made the Malik Nabers pick with the Giants at 6, my man was chill. He was just sitting back.
Enjoying
his
party.
He wasn't talking to his buddy Vinny, which is, I'm not making that up. Richie's from Brooklyn, and he has a buddy named Vinny. And I've heard him talk on the phone, and yes, they both have the Brooklyn accent. He didn't even talk to Vinny. He just texted him. He was like chill. He was like, that's a great pick.
We're good.
Yeah. What do we do? What do we do here when it actually goes as planned or what you want?
You get up,
all of a sudden you do. You can actually sit back and be like,
you get a beverage.
All right, now
I'm rooting
for other people to just have a dumpster fire selection.
Now, there wasn't a ton of drama in the draft. It was entertaining.
It was enjoyable.
I mean, Detroit showed out. But let's wrap our arms around something about the 2024 draft, which has two more days to go. Is that Bill Belichick and Nick Saban were working for ESPN.
Yeah. And Bill Belichick was actually kind of funny in a way of that Bill Belichick could be good breakdown of certain players, but also was not going to, you know how everyone tends to
so
just.
So you
give
watch the ESPN stuff?
I watched a little bit of the McAfee stuff later on just to see some of Bill Belichick's breakdowns of certain players, especially with Drake May. Well,
no wonder
and
he didn't sleep.
I know there were some criticism. People like, well, of course he's bitter about the Patriots pick, no matter who they got, he was going to be not high on them because there's that animosity. I thought he was just fair. But he's, I always feel like those, whatever network you're watching, they're always driven to be extremely positive about that player, no matter what. Even if they don't understand the pick, they will bring up the most amount of pros before you even give
say.
A con. Oh, Belichick was going back and forth. He would give you a con. It was a lot of backhanded, yeah, I mean, okay, here's a good throw, but right there, I mean, what's he thinking right there? Okay, now there he's not setting his feet. So it was a lot of good, it was good honesty is what it was.
Well, that's what they hired him for. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see a side of Belichick in this year off, like on the Manning cast and other ways ESPN will use him, that you go, man, the guy can be likable. Now, I would flip over periodically. So most of the time I was on the NFL Network. I think the NFL Network does a great job.
Joel Klatt had 28 points and 19 rebounds. It's great.
I mean, Daniel Jeremiah.
Yes.
I think he is the best in his business of what he does. Belichick, for his first time, I think handled it well because he was surrounded by a lot of bro dudes. And he had to sift through that. Yeah. And there were times where he had wanted none of that. Like when they had Oz on set, he was like, no, this ain't for me. But I think you're going to see a different side of him. And I thought he was pretty comfortable. And then he got Saban.
Like
Saban is really good in TV. He'll be good on game day because, as you just mentioned, Nick, they're honest. So they kind of pull back the curtain a little bit. The discussion today will be Saban's comments about Mitchell, the DB from Toledo, and how Alabama wanted him to get into the portal because he was their priority. I'm no legal expert.
That's good.
I've never been in court. I've only briefly had to do jury duty, and they dismissed the case like when we were in the room. But I believe that is called tampering.
Yeah.
And he admitted it out loud after also being, you know, on Capitol Hill not too long ago talking about how bad college football has become. But thank God for the honesty. That's what you hire those two guys for, is not to be, oh, he's a nice player. Boy,
he loves football.
He made a lot of throws to the hashes this year. Ah,
he's got great spurt ability.
No, you hire him to be honest so that people go, what did he say?
Yeah.
They kind of pull back the curtain. So I think ESPN got exactly. I think the Belichick Saban has to be one of the top five storylines from the draft last night.
I might have to watch tonight.
How good they were in their new environments.
I always wonder if in a lot of these production meetings for the NFL Network, for ESPN, and anybody else, any offshoots of those networks where you have, you know, like a McAfee portion of it, and you have different types.
With bro dudes?
Yeah. I mean, it's 2024. You got to have a little bro element. That
the brocast.
If there is a memo that goes out, or if in these production meetings, someone from the NFL is saying, hey, we can't make you do this, but if you can, please promote these guys because these are the next faces of the NFL. So please, we appreciate your honesty and we appreciate your analysis, but if we could keep it all positive, because that's what we want this event to be.
So you don't want tragic porn? Like the NBA that one year was great at this. You know, guy gets drafted third overall in the NBA, and it might have been Malika Andrews goes, hey, I know this is your moment, but can you tell me about when you were 4 years old and your dog ran away and then you happened to look down the street and it got run over by a car and how that's impacted your journey to the NBA?
And should Pete Rose admit to gambling on baseball?
Yeah, but I mean, Bill Belichick, he's been around the game so long, he's been around the business so long that when you think about it, it's the perfect addition, because no matter what's encouraged by the NFL on how to present certain aspects of it, he's not gonna. Oh, okay, yeah, sounds good. I'll follow that. No, he's gonna tell you if you bring me on, you're bringing me on for one reason, and I'm not gonna get off brand. You know who I am. You know what I'm about. I've been in this game for a very long time. I've been in talent evaluation for a very long time. You're gonna get exactly what I see. I can't put chicken and make chicken salad out of chicken blank if I don't feel like the situation doesn't dictate that.
See,
so.
I think Saban, back to Saban, one thing that'll make him great is that he's petty. Okay? So there's a little butthurtness when he speaks, whether it be about Mitchell not going to the portal. He also said something last night, and I only saw this on a clip. I did not see the whole discussion. Amarius Mims, the big offensive lineman from Georgia. So Saban went into him taking himself out of the game against Alabama in the SEC championship game. Now, that's not butthurtness.
No.
But that's like, okay, and now again, that goes back to honesty.
Yep.
And you know what?
And that goes back to the timing of it.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're two really, really good hires for ESPN. But my go-to for the NFL draft is the NFL Network. Where did David Shaw go? David Shaw.
Actually, that's what I was wondering.
David Shaw
night.
Used to be, when he was at Stanford, David Shaw was featured on the draft. Now,
he was damn good, too.
Did David Shaw get hired in Vegas to be an assistant coach? Let me look this up. Because I thought David Shaw was fantastic when he was heavily involved in the draft.
And thought maybe they'd bring him on later.
He is, according to Wikipedia, he is still unemployed. So I don't know what
maybe
happened.
He's got some against Detroit.
I don't have. I loved him on the draft coverage, but he hasn't been on for a couple of years. He's kind of, he's actually kind of like disappeared after what happened at the end of his tenure at Stanford.
Right, and it's the coaching aspect of it when you do get analysts, and we see this in college football as well. I don't know if it's just if it's encouraged or if it's their urge, but a lot of times. You would see it, a lot of the younger, newer coaches, they're going to come in with a major positive vibe. And I'm not trying to say what Bill Belichick and Nick Saban were saying yesterday wasn't positive. It was just honesty. But I always think that there's that feel when you're younger coaches, maybe you get brought on for a national championship broadcast just because your season's over and you're excited about the opportunity. You're high on life. You're high on college football. And you're just speaking great, 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 great about both teams. As opposed to last night, and I think the example you bring up right there of you're not necessarily wrong in talking about a guy taking himself out of a game or exiting the game. It's just the timing of that. It's the, okay, maybe next Monday on McAfee's show you bring that up as opposed to right now during the draft when we're trying to celebrate these guys. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I do. I think the honesty is refreshing, but I do think that's what you're going to get from these guys.
Yeah, I think, but your comment about current coaches, don't you think it also helps when you don't have a job?
Oh, yeah, big time.
I mean, you're not trying to protect anything?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That also is a big part of it.
All right, welcome in, everybody. A feel-good Friday after the night one of the NFL draft. Day number two coming up. The Bills are on the clock. Don't mess it up. Need a wide receiver. A couple good wide receivers out there. Also, not a bad little cornerback from Iowa.
Cooper DeJean.
Ooh, surprised he didn't go. And he's one of the 32 best players.
All these guys would look great with stars on their helmet, and none of them will have it.
coming up on the show,
I almost dropped an
the lineup
bomb.
Brought to you by the Roof Reese of John Higgins Weather Guard. Tom Chattel stops by at 8:30. We got lots to talk about with
he's
Tom.
Seen some things.
He has seen some things. We just have not seen Nebraska have a first-round draft pick again. Mike Schaefer stops by. Big recruiting weekend in Nebraska's spring social event. The spring game coming up on Saturday. They had a good day yesterday.
Box social.
Picked up a bear. If you're playing tight end, shouldn't your name be Bear?
I like it.
It doesn't hurt.
Like it. You're more likely, if your name is Bear, are you more likely to be an offensive lineman, defensive lineman, or tight end?
Well, I'd like to think offensive or defensive lineman. You're playing on the line of scrimmage.
The Giants had Bear Pasco. I think he was a fullback, but he could.
But if you're a Bear and you're playing football, I feel like you have the right life path.
But what if you are a tight end and you make a catch and you call it the Bear Claw? Thank you. I'll be here till 10. Matt Verzal will be by. We'll just let the Bears fans celebrate today.
I know Verz was not he was not all on a Caleb Williams. He did not want to see Caleb Williams.
I bet he's in on Rome, though.
I would imagine he'd be on. I don't know who is in on Rome.
So, I don't know. Maybe it changes his opinion. He's going to be thrown to Moore, Allen, Komet, Adunze.
Yeah.
You're going to have DeAndre Swift running the football. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I seem that. That's,
I like it.
That's an okay start.
Wonder what Shea thinks of his new era.
I'm fine with it. I am more than fine with it. I was very happy yesterday.
All right, that's the lineup brought to you by the Roof Reese of John Higgins Weather Guard. Thoughts on your team? Thoughts on the spring game? What to watch, which we will discuss for the next 3.5 hours.
One throw from Dylan and then sit down.
402-951-1620. That is the 42 Degree The Source hotline. Also into the Equitable Banks where you can get with us. Ooh. We've woken up some Viking fans this morning.
Right.
I didn't. But there's Viking fans that would like to discuss. Just
we had a horn.
You got to steal in Turner. I'm just going to stop there. The Equitable Bank inbox where they take banking personally, professionally, and daily. Gary at 1620thezone.com.
Hanley 1620thezone.com.
Also on the JTech Construction Zone Twitter feed at Gary Sharp 1620.
At Nick Hanley 1620.
Iowa JD. Hey, I'm with you, man. Cooper DeJean should have gone last night. I think he'll go off the board rather quickly. All Falcon fans can join me as being a Man U fan, as I have given up on the NFL as the Vikings drafted Zach Wilson 2.0. you got Turner.
You got to focus on the positive.
So you are set up, though, for a rookie quarterback to at least have a better introduction because you do have some pieces on that side of the ball that are around him.
Yeah, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison.
If not, Rich Gannon looks like he can still go for another year.
You got a good tight end?
Yep.
So, and you also have...
You have a nice stadium.
You also have a coach who was a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not going to absolutely crush the pick. I'm not enamored, and I think anybody that tells you what J.J. McCarthy's going to do in the NFL is absolutely lying because they don't. He is one of the bigger crapshoots.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
But I don't think it's a... He's not going into a situation where it's like, oh, geez. But go ahead, focus on Turner. I keep saying this. I think Turner is one of the steals of the draft where the Vikings got him.
Mm-hmm.
But you're now in a division where the NFC North is going to be a biatch. Okay? Green Bay is really good. Detroit has a nice nucleus. And boy, Brad Holmes is a big-time GM. Mm-hmm. Man, he knows what the heck he's doing.
That Detroit-Kansas City Super Bowl is
going to be great. They're paying the guys they should be paying. The Terry Arnold selection last night was great. They're doing things I'm not used to seeing Detroit do.
The NFC North is in a good spot.
Dan Campbell all with the tiny lady next to him.
Yeah, all teams have upgraded. So that'll be fun to watch. Hmm. I mean, you're going to be right in the mix. I mean,
in the mix of a very competitive division, too.
Who's the favorite before they kick off in September?
It's got to be Detroit.
What about Green Bay? Are we wondering whose last season was more of a, prove it to me, Jordan Love or Jared Goff?
Hmm.
I like the way Jordan Love finished the season, but I think Jared Goff, I've said it on the show many, many, many times that I did not believe in Jared Goff. I thought that he was spoon-fed from Sean McVay. So I've probably looked at Jared Goff through even much more positive lens now because he's shown that he can have the training wheels off and be an effective quarterback. And he's very popular, if you didn't notice, in Detroit yesterday.
I mean, Packers-Lions I like, but man, I like the Packers. But that NFC North will be a lot of fun playing with those four teams. All right, we'll talk about the spring game. We got lots to discuss and the importance of the draft from the college football perspective, among other things that we will dive into. And depending on the weather, there is supposed to be some important baseball played in Lincoln and in Omaha this weekend.
It'll be played at some point.
Yeah.
Will it?
Yeah, I think so.
Forecast.
I don't think today.
Boy, the forecast starts to look like a washout for the weekend.
I know. You might get one in tomorrow, depending on when you want to start. And then Sunday, there's some possible openings. Yeah. Try to get two in.
Contrary to popular belief, college baseball coaches hate doubleheaders.
Yeah.
The little general in Lincoln hates doubleheaders.
Oh, yeah. Darren didn't like him either. I don't think anybody really likes
him. Imagine if Haymarket Park had all turf. You wouldn't have to worry about it. Just saying. Troy.
Turf doesn't shut down lightning, though.
Troy. Jim. All right, 6:42. Off and running. Feel good Friday. The morning after the draft and a day ahead of the spring game. What to look forward to in the 7-on-7 competition that'll be happening at Memorial Stadium at 11 a.m. tomorrow. It's Mornings with Sharp and Hanley and Jimmy on 1620 The Zone.